Today we're going to talk about why a marrow transplant. I know we've been talking a lot about it, but God has brought a specific reason why. I've been in this message, I was just about to say, there's a difference between head rhema and marrow rhema. I know those are words you haven't heard together, but there's a difference between, I'm just going to put it this way, a way that you can understand, head knowledge, and then a knowledge that flows through you because it's a part of you. There's a tremendous difference. And the anointing is very, very different from when it flows from the marrow, the origin of your life, as opposed to having a rhema in just locked in memory. God wants to take what is locked in memory and put it into your, to the very marrow of your being, so that it flows and you flow like a son, and you flow like a daughter, truly connected, like you have the characteristics of your earthly parents. Well, when God starts to infuse marrow, or infuse your marrow with his marrow, which is his rhema, and it starts to really seep inside of you, that's when you're the best of you, is the best of God, rather, is going to show up. That's when the power of God is going to begin to show up. And that's what this message today is pointing at. It's answering the question, why a marrow transplant? In Proverbs chapter 3, our home, it's become our home scripture, verses 5 Amen. Through 8. I'll just read them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That's the key for great marrow, the marrow transplant. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, which we learned is the umbilical cord unto Christ. And then and it becomes marrow to thy bones. You experience God-like growth in you. The marrow to thy bones, it becomes moisture. It becomes to where you are absolutely irrigated. You are the flow of God. The refreshment of God is there. And it touches the bones, which is the place of substance. It creates. You have strength and vigor because of God's marrow entering into you. That's why we feel so good when we're out, when we're done with the rhema, or while we're in the midst of rhema. Things begin to shift, not just in our mental, but our physical takes on and receives as well. It receives strength, and it's something that is tangible. It's not just mind over matter here. It is happening to you in a very tangible way. Amen. This is why he sends his word, and he brings, and it heals, because it's the fresh marrow of God that enters into one's bloodstream or into one's bones. You essentially, every time you're in a rhema session or rhema fellowship, you essentially receive a marrow transplant. We learned about after the transplant, the importance of aftercare. The aftercare after a marrow transplant in medical science, we learned that the first 100 days are critical. They have to be seen 2 to 3 times a week to make sure that it fuses properly. When you're done with this word today, if you don't do the aftercare of this word, then the transplant in which God is trying to bring to you isn't going to fuse. You've got to stay in the word that you've heard for it to fuse, for you to experience the strength of God, the anointing of God concerning the word he's teaching you. It's all about what the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear. That will determine the transplant and how successful it really is. Amen. I know everybody on this line wants Zoe, wants the God life flowing through them, knocking out problems, knocking out circumstances and situations that are going opposite of the way that you want them to. Everybody wants prosperity and salvation, success. Everybody does. So the marrow transplant that you're undergoing, even as I'm speaking right now, you got to do the aftercare to hold it. All right. And today we'll give you more of an encouragement and more of an incentive to do just that. All right. So the Lord has been really opening the eyes of our understanding. Now the time to fully answer the question, it's come to fully answer the question, why marrow? In today's rhema, we're going to discover exactly why. why the Lord wants his word flowing from our marrow, not just from our heads. All right. Romans 12 and 2, which we looked at last week, tells us it reveals the transformation and the depth of the renewing in which we would undergo. It's not just rhema in the head. It's rhema that begins to flow from the deep. And Romans 12 and 2 shows the true renewing of the mind and where it's actually coming from. Romans 12 and 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, most of us, when we hear that, and we've heard that over the years as being Christians, it kind of just stays in the head. That we want to think like God, we want to do that. We think that the source of where it comes from is from our head or from our mind, which we think is our mind. But that's not the source of transformation that's being described here. It's not the source of it. It's not the depth of it. And so trying to hold the word in your mind or in your head, I use the word head because I think everybody can kind of understand where I'm coming from. Head knowledge. All right. Trying to hold the rhema in a head space or a head knowledge. That's not this transformation. It says here, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right? Transform means from the base. True transformation comes from the base. All right? This is what it's describing. Bone marrow is noted in medical science to be at the center or base of our bones. All right? And when you're renewed, what it does, it gives new strength and vigor, which is given to one. That's what the word renewing means. New strength and vigor. This right here, believably, points to being coming from the place of our marrow. It's talking about being transformed from the marrow, not from the head. We try to hold the word in our minds, and that's not the way God wants it. I don't have to act like my earthly mother or my earthly father from my mind. It comes from my marrow. It comes from my DNA. True. And so I don't have to try to act like them. It automatically comes. It's automatically produced because 50% of me is my mom, 50% of me is my father. And the bottom line is I move in their characteristics from my marrow, from what they placed in me, giving me their blood. All right. So God wants to actually transform us to the marrow. So automatically flows. We automatically act like him. I don't have to remind myself of a scripture. I live the scripture because it's coming from my marrow.
Bless God.
That's the transformation Romans 12 and 2 is talking about. We receive new strength. Where does our strength come from? The medical science tells us. It's the healthy red cells and white cells that flow through the body that continues to keep us in health and strength. Vigor comes from bone marrow. And so now the Bible's talking about renewing of the mind in new strength and new vigor. It's pointing to a marrow transplant. It's pointing to staying in the word to the point where you're saturated and it's totally, totally in your marrow.
Amen.
A real change. Somebody say amen if you're hearing me.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. So we're going to learn today, we're going to learn the difference between head rhema and marrow rhema. All right? The actual mind renewal is not surface renewing at all. It is a renewing that would flow from our marrow or DNA. Although the procedure of a marrow transplant is very similar to a blood transfusion, which we learned last week, they aren't the same. A transfusion most often is momentary. The transplant, however, is meant to be permanent. That is the transformation of Romans 12 and 2. That's what it's really talking about. He wants life flowing from our base, our marrow, not our heads. Rhema that is held in our minds doesn't carry the same anointing as rhema that flows from our marrow. I'm going to say that again. Rhema that flows from our minds, our heads, head knowledge rhema, is not the same anointing that flows instinctively from your marrow. It becomes instinct in you. This is your normal and natural reaction to circumstances or situations. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, and the Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Bone marrow transplants brings a conversion. You're converted. The first definition of converted means throughout. The throughout describes exactly how marrow flows in our bodies. It flows throughout. That's the first definition of conversion. Then I like this, and I thought about Shatina for some reason, for some Sister Shatina, Evangelist Shatina. I thought about her because it also means to return. It means back again or come back. It means to actually to return to the original state of being. All right, converted. You return. I'm going to show you in the word, and it's going to bless you. All right, and this is going to amaze a lot of you that the bone marrow transplant of the spirit brings us back to our original state of being. I remember there was a message week that the Lord taught us, and she evangelist really enjoyed it. It was talking about going back to our original state. We had talked a little bit after, so it reminded me of her. So it's returning us to our original state. In today, God is going to prove to you that you had his blood prior to the blood of your parents.
Wow.
Which I think is extraordinary. You're going to be blessed by this.
Amen.
All right. You had the blood of the Father prior to the blood of your earthly parents. The word converted describes the marrow transplant. It means throughout. So this tells you, he told Peter, when thou art converted, when you've had your transplant, Peter, strengthen your brethren. Why? Because it's there that you'll have a greater anointing to pour into them. It's a difference. The word, if you've been on the line for the last 2 months, the word is getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
Amen.
Because Apostle Todd is undergoing a marrow transplant. I am just submitted. I'm on the table. I'm doing the aftercare, and I'm going through something, and I'm enjoying it. I love growing, and I love learning. I don't care about my title. I do not care about my office. I am just a disciple at the end of the day, learning just like every one of you on this line. And I love what I'm undergoing right now. So therefore, I'm going through another conversion. So therefore, I'm able to give more strength to my brethren. There's a greater anointing here. So now, it reveals marrow itself, like I said. But then it means to return, or it means back again, or to come back. This reveals what takes place as the transplant. We return to the original state of our beings, back to where we were when we were just in the Father. I'm talking about prior to being in the mother's womb. We started in a place of perfection, people of God. That's where we come from. All right? Now, here's confirmation for you in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. This is really powerful. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Mm-hmm. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. All right? The word knew, watch this, powerful. It means kinsfolks. Kinsfolk. The word kinsfolk means a person's blood relation, a relative related by blood. He said, before I put you in your mother's belly, we were already related by blood. Before you came into your mama by way of your father, I've already placed my blood. You were of me. You came out of me to the point where we were already blood related when you were in me. So the marrow of the Father was what you knew first. It's what was there first. So returning to your original state of being has to go back to the marrow. There has to be a marrow transplant, because before he formed us in our mother's bellies, He knew us. We were already his kinfolk.
That's God. Hallelujah, Lord God.
So what he's doing again is he's returning us by the rhema word back to where we came from.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
It's happening. Hallelujah. Somebody press pause.
Thank you.
You can say, it's happening to me right now. It's happening while I'm under this word. It's happening. I'm becoming God's kinfolk. Related by blood again. Hallelujah. You see, prior to having our earthly mother and father's blood, we were blood related to God, our Father. This rhema word is changing our marrow so that we will be converted back to our original states of being. This is how Zoe, the life of God, will flow authentically and freely. All right, let me just show you a little bit here over in the book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse number 5. After the fall, we lost our blood relation. We certainly did. We lost our blood relation because now the seed of man was now already fallen into sin. And the blood there from there after the fall, now this is where Psalms 51 and 5 comes in. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Why? Because the seed of the Father had left the place of perfection. And the seed of the Father and the egg of the mother that were no longer in a perfect state to where it would carry the blood of the Father into us because of the fall. So in sin, we were conceived. Why? Because the seed that created us was of sin. Only through Jesus, here's your note, after the fall of Adam and Adam, and I did not say Adam and Eve, because their both name were Adam, which I find fascinating in itself, because of the fact that I'm going to just do a sidebar real quick. Try to hold on to me now. After the fall of Adam and Adam, the reason why they were called Adam and Adam, because she was bone of his bone. And that's a picture of the church and Jesus. Adam and Adam. Bone of his bone. Then we become flesh of his flesh, which was talked about on I believe on Thursday. All right. Mm-hmm. So now they were Adam and Adam, but after the fall of Adam and Adam, which they had the exact marrow flowing, because it came from the breath of God, they had God flowing in them. The bloodline of the Father was essentially cut off from man. Now, only through Christ Jesus would we be able to enter again into the original bloodline of the Father. This is why the word has to enter into our marrow, not just our heads. It has to be saturated to where real change comes, and everything moves in an authentic manner now because of it really flowing from up out of you from the base, from the marrow. This is why the word has to enter into our marrow. We are returning to our original state of being as true sons and daughters of the Most High. Because unfortunately, in sin, we were conceived.
Mm-hmm.
Very unfortunate. In sin. But there is coming a nation that will say they were born in Zion. There is coming a nation where the seed of man has been changed and flows back in the fullness of the marrow of the Father. There is a nation coming. They're going to say we were born here, that they were not conceived in sin,
amen,
shapen in iniquity.
Amen.
But the bloodline of the Father has to re-enter into man, and it's happening by the rhema. Remember, it says we're being born again by the word of God. We are being born again by the word of God. Hallelujah. All right. So now, this is why David begins to cry. Listen to David's cry in Psalms 51, 6 through 10. David's cry was a cry to be changed from the marrow, from the inside to the outside. This is the same psalm we just read about being conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. That's verse 5. We pick up at verse 6. It says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Look at that alone. You desire truth in the inward parts, in the base. Oh. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Listen, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Verse 10 is total confirmation. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David's cry was coming from the deep. He was not talking about head knowledge of you, but he wanted the fullness of God to flow through him. He said, create in me a clean heart. The word clean means unadulterated, uncontaminated. What happens when a marrow transplant takes place? It takes away contamination so that it might produce pure blood cells.
Amen, God.
The word clean means make me pure. It means to clean. Listen. It means to clean physically of disease. That's David is crying. If I knew any better, he's crying for a marrow transplant. He's crying for inner change so that he can hold and be sustained in the way of God.
Hallelujah.
Not trying to just walk at it at the top of his head of what the Bible or the scripture says, or even I will not listen, or even what you think you remember in Rhema. But it's the rhema that enters into the bloodstream, into the marrow of man that changes man and changes man's thinking.
That's God. Thank
That's
you.
That's why God is saying, I want to do a marrow transplant. I don't want TGM walking in head knowledge, although I'm giving them rhema. I want it to go past the head and I want it to enter into the marrow that I can create true sons and daughters that flow freely in my power, that flow freely in my blessing.
Yes, God.
Unadulterated, uncontaminated, pure, to be clean physically of disease. David is talking about, bless me from the inside to the outside. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you.
That's why he's saying, I want to get you. I want to change you from the marrow. I don't just want you staying in the study to keep it in your head. I want you to stay in the study to do the aftercare of a marrow transplant that I can consistently flow through your life and bless your life. So reading the verses 6 through 10 in Psalms 51 sounds like a spiritual and physical bone marrow transplant to me. David's cry went to the deep. It touched the source of where all sin and problems would flow from. It touched the marrow. And I say this, I'm in full agreement with his cry. Change me from the marrow, Father.
Yes.
From the marrow. I want change in the inner man. The base of my being. Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
Let's take a look at the difference now between head rhema and marrow rhema. Let's see this. This is really powerful. There's a difference between head rhema and marrow rhema. We got two new sayings. Head rhema. No, he's moving in head rhema. Then you see someone else moving and say, oh, yeah, that's marrow rhema there. Boy, there's power behind that. Matthew 16, 15 through 18, it says, he saith unto them, this is when Jesus is asking them, who do men say that I am? He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. But I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, when Simon shouted out, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, we all know this. We saw that the Father gave this to him directly.
Mm-hmm.
He gave him the rhema directly, that Jesus was the Christ or is the Christ. And he got a rhema, and Jesus recognized the rhema. And he recognized the sound. He recognized the presence. He recognized his father.
Hallelujah.
Peter essentially got a massive transplant right there. There was a transplant that began to, it began right there. But unfortunately, in three verses later, we see that it was a head rhema. It had not yet entered the bloodstream. Now watch this. In Matthew 16, 21 through 23, we can see it doesn't enter the bloodstream yet. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter, that same Peter, how fast he goes back to Simon. He just got a name change. And he goes right back to Simon. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from me, Lord, from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Watch this. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, Peter's first rhema was a rhema that came to his head. It didn't enter his bloodstream, and it's evident because the marrow of the enemy, and I'm going to say this, and I don't want to scare you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. It's either God's marrow or the enemy's marrow. I'm going to tell you right now. That's either or that's flowing in you. It's either God's marrow or the enemy's marrow. When Peter turned and said, be it far from thee, and Jesus recognized, okay, he got a rhema, but it hadn't entered his blood. It hadn't changed the marrow. And so therefore, what came up out of Peter was the old marrow that was already in him by his mother and father. The marrow where he was conceived in sin still was there. The head rhema, yes, it started something, but it didn't complete it because we see how what he savored was that was of men. If the marrow of God was there, Peter would have said, yes, Lord, and I know the Father will carry you through that death, and he will raise you again on the third day, and you'll save us from our sins. He would have agreed with what the mission was. But because the marrow hadn't changed, Satan was still able to come up and through the mouth of Peter and say something completely opposite of the will of God. There was no change there. There was a process that had begun. And see, some of us need to recognize that the man, is it flowing from my marrow or is it just flowing from my head? Because sometimes I'm doing what I ought not to do. Paul said it like that there. He said, that which I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Why? Because you haven't finished the transplant.
Yes, God.
Oh, and that which I want, that I want to do, I don't do.
Oh, hallelujah, God.
He said, who's going to save me from this? He said, I thank God he will.
Hallelujah.
Paul recognized that there were still things going on the inside of him, but he did not associate himself with the sin itself, but because he knew that God had already started a process. But I'm telling you right now, people of God, don't you sit there and think for a moment that we're not going to walk like Jesus the man did in total perfection. And I really understand he did have one up on us. And I do that. I say that. He had one up on us. He had the real marrow of the Father.
Yes, yes,
the seed
yes.
of the Father was in him.
Yes,
so therefore the characteristics of Jesus were of the Father.
We're the same.
Now Jesus is trying to tell us, I'm going to do the same thing in you by my word. I'm going to give you what I had when I walked in the earth.
Oh, God.
That the characteristics of the Father can freely and authentically flow through you. I'm changing your marrow. I'm changing your DNA. So Peter, once at one moment, he's saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's what we do when we get a rhema. But it stays in the head. It doesn't go to the bones and to the marrow.
Jeez.
And the reason why it doesn't reach the marrow is because we don't do the aftercare of staying in it saturating in it, walking in it, becoming it. Jesus. Peter was at first praised for the transfusion. That's what it was like. He got a blood transfusion, but in actuality, it was the beginning of a transplant. But we then see it wasn't the actual transplant didn't take place. Satan was still in charge of the life of his life. He was still in the marrow of Peter. All right. The next two verses, he gives instruction on how to do the aftercare. He tells him right after that, right after he has to rebuke him, he says this. He gives an instruction in verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, listen to what he says. He gives instructions of aftercare. Then says Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Aftercare. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Aftercare. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. He revealed constant acknowledgement. Coming out of Proverbs chapter 3. He reveals to him, he said, yeah, Peter was with it for a minute. But he said, let me tell you guys, this is the deal. He had it going on for a second. But he had to let him know, hey, he said, listen, guys, if any man's going to really come after me, he's got to deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. He's got to stay in a place of where there's constantly knowledge. That was a learning moment for the disciples.
Amen.
Come on, man. If you're the rest of the disciples, you hear in verse 18, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. Then in verse doggone, the next doggone 10 minutes in the conversation, get behind me, Satan. For thou savest not the things that be of God, but that be of man. It's like, hey, wait a minute. I thought you just said you just changed his name to Peter. He became a piece of you. Now you're rebuking the devil that's flowing out of him. What's going on? So Jesus says, let me give you guys some balance. He said, hey, listen, if you're going to really come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and you got to follow me. Key word right there, follow me. Stay in a place of acknowledgement. Because if you're going to try to save your life, if you're going to try to save your life, if you're going to still flow in your old way, you're going to lose it. But if you allow the word to come in and lose your life, you're going to find life. You'll find it. So he reveals the way of finishing this transplant, if you will. All right, here we go. So we aren't called to live in this rhema by our memories, people. We are called to live in this rhema from the marrow. Amen. We're not called to live, I'm going to say it again. We're not called to live in the rhema by memory. We're called to live in the rhema by the marrow. The head knowledge of the rhema won't bring permanent change. It is merely a transfusion, if you will. And the transfusions won't last. Jesus said it like this. Watch this. This is powerful. Back over, going home. I thought about you, Jay, if you're on the line. Mark 4, verses 16 and 17. It says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Listen to this, verse 17. And have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. They receive it with gladness. Now they're getting a word. They're getting rhema. But they have no root in themselves. Watch this. This is going to blow your mind. And so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. I went again, went here, and looked at the word root. The word root, I remembered, meant progeny. The word progeny means a descendant or blood relative. It says, and they have no blood relation in themselves, so they only endure but for a time. The word never reached the marrow. So they have no blood relation. Wow. They have no, there's no real progeny. There's no real connection. If you can hear me, just say amen. So I know you're
amen.
There.
Amen. Amen.
And they have no real blood relation, so they can't endure but for a time. So when all hell breaks loose and all kinds of things go down, man, and they're failing, why? Because they're not blood related. The word didn't reach the marrow. We're not called to function off of head knowledge here. We're called to function from the place where we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. We were called to function from the marrow, where God's blood cells are being created in us. God's ideas are flowing in us. We live by the glory, the opinion, the estimate, the point of view of God. It flows freely in us.
Bless God. Bless God. Bless God.
We've got root, praise his name. We're blood related. That's why, listen, I'm going to prove to you you're blood related. If you keep getting on this line, you're blood related. You're not turning back. You're not looking back. You're enduring. Hey, I got one for you that might be a little sluggish. If you're keeping the glimpse of the now Rhema word, you are blood related. You're not letting it go. You're not letting it go. You're not becoming offended. You're pressing in to the Rhema. Although things may not be moving like you want to, but you're still moving. Why? Because it's in your blood to keep it moving. That's what you call the ox. That's the characteristic of your father and of your big brother, Jesus.
Yes,
that's the endurance of the ox that says, I'm not turning back.
Thank you.
See, but we have root. But a lot of Christians don't have the progeny. There's no blood relation. It's all off the top of the head. And for us that are not really balanced, it's just saying, listen, you better do better in your aftercare. So that the transfusion, that this transplant that the Father is giving you as your donor can take root and fuse thoroughly in you.
Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Keep up with your aftercare. Somebody press mute and say, keep up with your aftercare. Hallelujah. So you see, the word root points to being blood related to God again. Just because you hear a rhema doesn't make you blood related. The rhema must enter into the marrow. We must continue to acknowledge him until we start moving just like him. You start to move just like him. Oh, glory. When you feel the patience of God overtake you in a situation where your old man would want to go right and your new man is saying, no, let's stay left here. Let's not go that way. And you let the will of God, you let the way of God just flow through you. That's because you're undergoing a marrow transplant. When you're not making these hasty decisions and moves, but you're acknowledging him, it's because you're under the marrow transplant. This is why he wants it in the marrow, so we can really have strength, strength, strength to live this way. Not trying to live this way of my memory of what the Bible said or what the Rhema pointed out. No. It's flowing out of me. And that's why I live like this. We won't just continue for a time, but we're going to continue permanently unto eternity as descendants, as blood relatives of the Father. His life will flow through us like it was always intended to. That's why marrow. So now we see, and I'm about to close, we see a marrow rhema here. We see where marrow rhema is the rhema that flows as your natural response to circumstance. You can't help it or stop it. It flows like the characteristics, like I said, of your earthly parents. It is who we are. Marrow rhema flows from the character of the Father. It's in your born again DNA. And I'm closing here in Acts chapter 3, verses 2 through 8. We look at Peter again. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about, oh, glory be to God, yes, Lord. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said,
yes.
Look on us.
Yes, yes.
He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them.
Hallelujah.
Listen to Peter's marrow rhema response. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none,
Yes, God.
But such as I have,
yes, Lord.
Give I. In the name of Jesus Christ
Hallelujah.
of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood, walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. See, Marrow Rhema says, such as I have, give I thee. See, I think about Kurt here again. I've used this analogy before. Geez. Kurt on the court knew such as he have could he give unto people on that basketball court. It was flowing from his DNA. It was flowing out of his marrow. He knew what his body could do, and he knew what his body couldn't do. So he understood, such as I have, give I thee, on that court. And he understood how to do different moves and different things. He would read people, but it was coming from the DNA. It was coming from his marrow. This is what God wants us to understand.
Yes,
just God. Like you understand the natural abilities you have in the natural, he wants you to understand what you got flowing through your marrow that you can give to one another, that you can give to them that have need, that you can lay hands on the sick, you can cast out devils, such as I have. It's flowing through my marrow.
Yes, God.
The life and strength and the vigor of God is right here. Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. I know what I have. I know who I am. There's a difference between Peter that would tell the Lord, be it far from thee, and rebuke the Lord when the Lord's telling him his end game mission, and the Peter that this gate called beautiful. He used the same name that he got a revelation of, in the name of Jesus Christ. The same rhema that was head knowledge at one time became marrow.
Yes, yes, God.
And in that marrow rhema, he took the man by his right hand and lifted him up. This man was paralyzed from birth. Boy, oh boy. That's marrow rhema. It was his instinct. Man, I ain't got no money, but what I got, I'll give you. Here, get up. That's instinct. He didn't flip through the Rolodex of his mind of what the scriptures had to say. I don't think there's any scripture that said, silver and gold have I none. Peter wrote a scripture. Through the Holy Spirit wrote a new word through him. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. There's no scripture that says that Jesus ever did that there. There's nothing that he could have, he didn't equate to anything. That's all off the top of the head there. That's hot off the press. He was moving in instinct, is what I'm saying. It flowed naturally through him. Man, I ain't got no money, but here, come on, get up. Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. He knew what he had flowing in him. It went far beyond the surface of rhema. It flowed from his marrow. It flowed from his marrow. Jesus, we give you glory. You too, Elder Donna, there. You too, when you were the nurse, it was at one time book knowledge. But that book knowledge became instinct. It became instinct on how you did your practicing and your work. You knew exactly what needed to be done. It became a part of your DNA. It became a part of you authentically. And that's exactly what this word wants to do.
Amen. Amen.
That no matter what we're facing or who we're facing, the instinct of God that flows through the marrow will totally determine the outcome. It'll change the narrative of things. That's the depth of faith, the depth of peace that God wants us moving in and living in. That it flows out of us. We know everything is going to be all right. We understand that no weapon formed against. It's not just a. It's in me to know that I'm a winner. I'm more than a conqueror. It's flowing in me. It's not something that I'm memorizing or trying to quote. It's not something that I'm trying to conjure. No, it flows out of me. That's another dimension of faith and peace. I know that I know that I know everything is going to be all right. I'm planted by the rivers of water. I won't be moved in this. I don't have to remind myself what the Bible says. It's in my marrow. And the only thing God sees is the one true seed. Look at my son. Look at how he's overlaid himself on Todd, on Donna, on Allison, on Manita. Look at how he's overlaid himself on the house of True Gospel Ministries. Yeah. Why marrow? It's because God is getting rid of that surface understanding. And the life of the Father is going to flow from out of you. That's why marrow.
Yes, God.
That's why he's doing the transfer. All right. We're going to knock it out the park next week, starting on Wednesday. Well, I want you to do some case studies for more group, and possibly if they go further on Thursday, they can. I know some of you can't join us on those days, but if you can, do a case study. Show where someone in the Word received a transplant, but then did the aftercare to become God's progeny again. All right? Show where they got it, and show where you can see the fuse came and took place, and they became God's progeny. They became blood related, and you see them moving differently. Show the beginning of it, and get us to the end of it, if you understand what I'm saying, just say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's amen. A case study for next week for everybody to get in there and dig it out. All right. See where they got the initial transplant, like Peter, thou art the Christ. But then show where they actually became God's progeny because they stayed in the aftercare. Amen. Father, we glorify amen. You for your word right here, right now. We thank you, Lord God, for the insight. For the rhema, for what you've given us. We thank you, Lord God, that it's reaching deeper. It's going into places that we really needed it to go, where we can really function as true sons and as true daughters. We thank you, Lord God, for this awesome transplant, for the awesome change. The power from the inside is being proven. It's being proven on the outside. And Lord, this is where we can say we will not ever look back and neither go back. The way will be shut. There will be no entry into the old man. You're changing us into our original states of being. And Lord, we accept it. We embrace it. We say amen to it. This is an answer to so many questions, once again, that you're pouring out through your rhema word. You're giving us mad solution on how to win, on how to be victorious in every area. And we give you glory and honor. When we lay hands, we'll understand, Lord God, such as we have, we give. We'll understand that we speak as the progeny of the Father of lights, the Father of heaven and earth, that we speak in dimensions of authority, that we have creative power flowing from the inside of us. We can change our atmospheres, change our situations, changing even our climates, Lord God, to really line up to heaven's climate. And we give you glory today that yes, you're empowering God. Us with the knowledge of who we really are, the sons and daughters of God, walking in your might, walking in your power, such as we have, will pour out.
Yes,
but it's coming from a place, Lord God, that is so, so connected and so authentic. We give you glory for this. We give you glory. Give everyone the mindset on doing the aftercare. The aftercare from today is everything. Yes. What they do with it is everything, Master. Help it, Lord God. Help them so that it will seep into the marrow. That it will go from the head to the marrow. and that it will stay and it will last. It will bring awesome, awesome change, both spiritually, naturally, mentally, physically, and financially. That the full Zoe in which you're offering will be manifested in all of us.
Yes, God.
Father, we give you glory. We give you glory because in this we find substance. We find substance for our lives. We find increase. And then we turn with that increase and we honor you because Zoe is creating increase. So we honor the Lord with our substance, with the first fruit of all of our increase, because we see where it really flows from. We no longer hold on to ownership of anything because we know that you've given us this marrow transplant to manifest your life, to manifest victory the way that you have it. So we will be holy as you are holy. We'll be whole in every way, shape, and form.
Yes, God.
And we thank you, Master.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for this insight. Thank you for this blessing. In Jesus, your precious name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Just a few comments here. Hallelujah. Evangelist says, praise God for the conversion, whereas we go from corruptible seed to the incorruptible. Amen. Elder Allison says, awesome, awesome, Rhema. Elder Donna says, awesome, truly awesome. Evangelist Benita says, amen to the Rhema, for we are becoming godlike. You better believe we are. And Evangelist Darrell says, yes, Lord Jesus. 1 John 4:17b says, as he is, so are we in this world, marrow. Amen. Jay tapped in and says, amen. It is our new and true birth. Yes, it is, Jay. This is the real deal.
Yes,
this
it
is the real deal. This is absolutely
yes,
the real deal.
Yes,
this is
is
what it means to be born again. This is the real deal. It was more tangible than we knew. It was more tangible than we knew. And I praise God and I say amen to everything. And I praise God that you guys are hearing it the way that I'm hearing it. I praise God for that. Truly powerful. So let's become what we're hearing.
Amen.
Let's become it. Let's become the children of God. Let's become the brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's become. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. We're going to honor the Lord now. Sow your seeds. Give your tithes and first fruit, everybody. Be faithful under that, please. It's such a major part. It's such a major part of this transformation. It's so powerful how he says, right after it becoming health unto our navel and marrow to our bones, then he tells us to honor the Lord with our substance. Why? Because his life has been created in us, causing us to see victory, causing us to see increase. So we take the increase. We honor the Lord with that. We honor him because we're acknowledging him. We're acknowledging what he did, the process of change that we underwent. We're acknowledging it. So please be faithful in your giving. Let him know you recognize what he's doing there. More importantly than anything, that's all he wants. He wants you to recognize. And also honoring detaches us even more from the old way that we were living, from the old marrow that was in our system. It detaches us from this, the carnality and the way of this life. And so honor the Lord. He is so worthy to be honored for what he's doing. So bless him. If you're going to cash app it, you know how to do it. $ True Gospel Mins, M-I-N-S, look for the logo. If you're going to Zelle, you can Zelle to our online, our email rather, truegospelmins@aol.com. That's for you Zellers. You can Zelle through truegospelmins@aol.com. But more importantly, just honor him, worship him, and recognize him. Open up your mouths, give him the fruit that's on your lips, and then press send. Don't press send without doing that. God bless you guys. That's all we got for you today. Be blessed. I hand it over to our announcer now.